Hello, everybody. Welcome to Angry Dork's podcast. Hope you're all doing well. It's President's Day, so that's awesome. I've got Ed Greer. Hello.
What is up, my main man? It is also Black History Month.
Yeah.
I know you guys acknowledge that because it's so important. I couldn't get it out.
And then we have Matt Blackwood.
Why ain't there a White History Month? That's all I got to say.
That's because it's the other 11 months.
Did you see, from Saturday Night Live in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, blonde chick. Help me out.
Cutie Fruity? Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson, yeah.
She's nuts.
She wrote this big piece about why isn't there a White History Month? But then it went on to be like, you know, the white man is really underrepresented and underrespected in this country. Literally it said, go hug a white male today.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. That's an important message.
Yeah.
It is.
I assume that message was not for young black men. Because if you go and try to hug a white male stranger, it is not going to work out too well for you.
We also have Rich Slayton here today. So showed up randomly.
Yep. Down here just wandering Skid Row.
Yeah.
In honor of Black History Month last night, I watched some Avengers episodes about the Black Panther. They were defending Wakanda. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
the Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show.
It is a good show. That's a badass show. Action is fantastic, and story's good, too.
Well, and that one, there's another thing where some sort of offshoot or branded other material besides the comics is better than the real comic. Because in those, correct me if I'm wrong, Black Panther can do some Panther shit. Like, he can Panther out on your ass.
Super Panther.
Why isn't there a white Panther? That's all I got to know.
But for real, like, why doesn't Black Panther Panther out? They had the perfect excuse in Earth X that all the radiation from all that Wakanda
vibranium,
shit, vibranium all around caused mutations in his people and in the animals. And
they
all
basically became
shit.
Like the next Inhumans.
Right. That'd be so fucking fresh, dude. If Black Panther could Panther out, just like how Blade was just a douchebag in the comic books who just stabbed people and wandered around.
That's one awesome thing that they were doing in the DC universe is that they said, hey, you know what? Kingdom Come's like the best fucking alternate future that anybody wrote. Let's just slowly towards that. And the Marvel Universe has looked at Earth-X like zero times. You know, like
it feels like it, yeah.
And you're like, dude, Earth-X is the best alternate future you've got. Like, edge toward it.
Yeah, agreed.
You could even take a detour through the that like Spider-Girl future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you got a lot of similarities there.
Guys, I think flash forward is the best future. Guys, flash forward. Oh God.
Well, I like the Batman and the flash forward thing. That was cool.
That's pretty tight.
He was really tight.
You're talking about the TV show, right?
No,
you're talking about the Joseph Fiennes TV show, right? Flash forward.
I don't even know.
I'm the only one who remembers.
Oh yeah, that happened for like a minute.
Yeah, it was David S. Goyer who wrote Blade.
They killed that shit faster than Firefly.
I can't believe it. Didn't see that coming. Oh, guys, I know exactly where we're going to be in 13 episodes.
Canceled.
Well, they kept flashing forward to the one alternate universe where they had a great run. That's what they kept flashing forward to. There's so many other universes.
It is flash forward to the job at Subway.
So we're here today to talk about the most underrated movies of all time. I've got one that pops in my head every single time someone says underrated movies of all time is Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest is amazing. Did that not do well in the theater?
It didn't do great.
I don't have a good sense of how well movies do.
And the reviews were sort of like, meh.
My finger is pretty far from the pulse. So that one didn't do that well in the theater.
Well, people assumed that it was going to be like
a bad Star
Trek
ripoff.
Like a goofy spoof making fun of it like one of those, action hero movie or whatever the fuck movie
like if
called.
They made Andromeda the movie
yeah exactly
that's a great fucking movie.
It makes you laugh the whole time through. You even kind of actually feel for the characters
at
the end.
Story. Like, even the action is good.
Yeah.
And they totally have Justin Long doing that Flight of the Navigator moment where he goes and grabs all the fireworks to light their way home. Fucking love that.
Well it was cast so well too.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Super well. And look what they were trying to do. A movie spoof that worked as good or better than any single episode of what they're spoofing. That's what they literally tried to attempt to do, from the stunt coordination to the how the stunts and stuff were actually cool and the action was actually good.
Almost the way Scream was like borderline a parody, but then at the same time they're like, yeah, we're also making a really good horror movie here.
Right, or we're attempting to at least.
Right, yeah. The first 13 minutes of Scream are amazing. The rest of Scream is just par.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's the reason that everybody comes away from Scream going, oh, that movie's amazing, is just because of the first 13 minutes.
And the end. Mm-hmm. Well, the end was decent. The end was decent too.
It's a nice twist.
Because that's actually almost like a lot like a comedy set. Like if you have the first like 5 to 7 minutes, like you crush it, and then it slows down for 10,
and then a great closer,
and then the closer is crushing. People will like you afterwards, and they won't remember that the little bit of stuff you had in the middle wasn't quite as strong because they're stupid.
Way to connect with your mental. Jesus,
what?
Anybody that
likes
you,
that's a good call, though.
Unequivocally, is fucking stupid. Jeez, man.
Galaxy Quest, not calling your audience stupid, but Galaxy Quest is a good call.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, love Galaxy Quest.
Of movies that you didn't see what they did coming. Dude, Where's My Car?
Fucking Dude, Where's My Car is so good.
It's hilarious.
I fucking love that movie. I the reason I saw that movie, we had a little theater that was super close to my house, like I could walk, and they would do all summer. They would do $2 Tuesdays. And I'd go, and I'd go like to 2 or 3 movies in a row because it was $2 a piece, and I was poor. And I was like, "Well, what's playing at this time?" Well, only this Dude Wears My Car shit. Oh well, give it a shot. So fucking good.
Yeah.
So funny. Agreed. And clever.
What a wonderfully giant vagina.
Yes, I want to go on that ride. So.
But you like, got the weird ostrich stuff going on, and the aliens subplots. Oh, man.
That's such a great joke.
And you just would not expect it either.
Isn't that also Justin Long in there? Wasn't he one of the Zoltanite peoples?
Maybe. I don't know. That was a long time ago. I only remember Donkey Lips and then Hal Sparks is the leader.
Oh, yeah.
Just imagine, and every single really good movie, underrated movie that I see like that, I just envision some dude sitting in a room, most likely he's doing it for college credit, reading that screenplay and going, you know what? I'm going to put my little $1 an hour job or my first job out of college salary on the line and take this to the person above me and have them look at this too. Yep. Just imagine the bravery of that first person taking that first step, reading a Quentin Tarantino chair. Every other page has nigger on it and it's not told in chronological order and everybody is fucking awful. You know what I mean? And they go, but I love it so much. I'm going to show this to the head of, you know what I mean? It's fucking amazing, dude. Literally amazing.
Oh, and another one that I think is, this is just me that thinks underrated, and it did terrible in the box office, is Unbreakable.
I love Unbreakable too.
Unbreakable.
The big thing that I know that, the big complaint I always hear about Unbreakable is, oh, the twist was so dumb, whatever. It's like, well, only if you went into the movie going, man, Sixth Sense had such a great twist. This is going to have an amazing twist. And if you go and you're only thinking about the twist and you're not enjoying the fact that the whole movie is so deliberately paced and wonderful and how they backdoored you into a superhero movie.
Yep.
They give you a slow family drama that is eventually, by the end of it, when that fucking music swells, when he's coming out of that water with the fucking...
Oh, I get goosebumps right now thinking about it.
The poncho that looks like a cape, and you're like, oh my God, I'm watching a superhero movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's fucking genius. That movie is genius. The twist doesn't matter.
And when he's doing his workout, and he's not really paying attention, and his kid puts all that shit on, you're like, and then he's like, looks at it.
How much did you take off?
I added it.
Oh my God.
And he's like bench pressing a goddamn car at this point.
No, I mean, I really loved it too. But I must say, when I was younger, I loved it more. Because as I get older, I just really start to look at how it could have been so awesome. Like, I think there's pockets of awesome that they missed. And I think he did that because he thought he was going to have more chances. You know what I mean? Mm. But the addition of that weird fucking... And I'm not trying to be a jerk and saying one of his powers is unrealistic because all of his powers are unrealistic. It's an unrealistic concept. But adding that power of being able to touch people and see that they're doing crimes and shit, man.
Yeah.
That sucked, man. I felt like that was the first fin on Jump the Sharkville. You know what I mean? That was the first fin.
If they had taken away just the visual aspect of it and just made it instinct of... I don't know, I got a bad feeling about that guy. Well, that would have been cool.
Well, maybe that, or giving it to be like homeboy, Afro man, fall down the steps and I'm a die, Mr. Glass. If they gave him, I had to do all that to make his name pop into my head. But homeboy, leading him, being his fucking cue. His fucking, they did,
and then turning out to be the bad
thing,
guy.
The that would have been so dope. His cue and his whistler and his numbers before numbers or whatever that show is. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? That sort of thing where I did the numbers and there's this crime.
That they could have done,
if
they knew that they would have a sequel, is just not do the reveal at the end, and at the end be like, yeah, superhero, no, and then wait until the sequel, and then like and then halfway through the sequel reveal that he's the villain, and then they have to fight it out. All right,
well, I mean, that could have been really dope, but I'm just talking about the slow burn of it. Everything is right. All you guys are super right about that, but I'm saying they missed a ploy to get some actual cool action, and then they could have went and did some movie action. When they go into this realm of him fighting this dude in the house and all this shit, it's just, to me, it was mad underwhelming. I felt like if I had to wait that long for him to use his unbreakableness, it's not going to be on a maintenance man. The nutso maintenance man, you know what I mean?
Well, that big dude smashed him into the wall, and like the wall broke and shit, and he just stayed on him the whole time.
Well, because he's unbreakable, not necessarily.
I
want to
see some Neo
strong
shit.
Well, yeah, I want to see a little bit of that. Like, and think about it. You could have shoehorned that into a very realistic movie because this giant plot, right at the end, dudes with machine guns come out there shooting the fuck out of Bruce Willis. He's running through hails of bullets, taking car doors off, throwing them at people. Superhero action. Hold on. Real superhero action. And then at the end, you find out that whole scenario, that big fake-ass scenario, was on some fucking Mysterio shit. Like fucking Mr. Glass engineered that whole situation, engineered him to see the clues and use his superhero instincts to say, see, I told you could do it. Now go do it, like, for real, on your own and stuff. He's like, motherfucker, you may be doing an action scene that killed 5 civilians. I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the movie that I would like to see. I think that would take it up that next level without adding too much production value or too much hokiness. Because, frankly, what I just said is not more hokey than this nigga touching people and seeing a fucking montage of future crime.
It was the beginning of the downward slide. Mm-hmm. Because in The Sixth Sense, if you ever look at like behind the scenes stuff, they are so fucking nervous about that twist. They're like, people are going to see this. People are going to, like, this whole movie, like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? And it wasn't until they showed it to a fucking test audience and the entire audience was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And they were like, we got it. We did it. Holy shit. They thought for sure everybody was going to see it, you know? And then I feel like,
this one they
with
didn't.
Unbreakable is when he started to be up his own ass. And obviously every other movie after that is terrible.
But
I mean, right? I mean, did he do a... I mean, I liked some of Signs.
So yeah,
I
like modern movie pieces classic of Signs,
but there's too many problems with it.
Yeah.
How about... Who's got an unwanted movie?
Oh, we got a couple from Andy Sell.
Oh, cool.
Of course we did.
He can't hear it, but we got... let's see here. He said Ishtar...
I'll take his word for it. I've not seen it.
He's just talking trash now. It's notoriously one of the worst movies of all time.
Well, because he said he liked it despite it being like being the number one or two example people use for a studio sinking film.
Okay, what's the next one?
The Imposters, which is one of the best comedies ever, but nobody ever
with
seems
Tony
to know
Shalhoub
what it is.
And
and Fresh.
Fresh? That's not is that underrated?
That's I don't know. He says one of the best hood movies gets like very little attention, despite an amazing performance from Sean Nelson, Samuel Jackson.
People don't give it that much credit for being like people will act like, frankly, they'll act like Boys in the Hood or something is better than that movie. Like it's so like that movie is so much.
That's fair. It definitely didn't get the
movie. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
It's more unknown than underrated. But several on my list were like that too.
Okay. Yeah, Ken August said A Fish Called Wanda, but I think that doesn't make any sense because everybody loves Fish Called Wanda.
Won fucking Oscars. How do you win Oscars and be underrated?
Yeah. I don't know. You're wrong, Ken. We love you, but you're wrong.
Okay. Best hood movie, Colors. 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 Colors.
Okay, here's one. On that same tip of just like movies that I know did poorly, but are like hugely quotable afterward, though, Zoolander. Zoolander was a huge bomb. And if you know why, it's because it came out Friday, September 14th, 2011.
Yeah, 3 days after.
Or so 2001, sorry. Yeah, so it came out 3 days after 9/11.
So cult, though.
Yeah, but it's not underrated anymore, I would say. Yeah.
Underrated for its time.
Right, but that became the quotable, like, it's one of the most quotable movies of all time.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Under that criteria, though, you got to go Fight Club. Fight Club, when it hit video and people didn't have to drag their bitch to see it, they were like, oh my God, this is fucking God, awesome.
That was another one I went to see on the cheap that I was like, I hadn't heard much about it at all. And I went to see it and I was like, holy fuck, this movie blew me the hell away.
Right.
Yeah, and it's also one of the few movies that I didn't guess. Like, I really didn't guess that. And I usually am pretty good at that. I did guess Unbreakable, but that was partly because they gave specific comic book clues.
Right.
Right.
If the name of it was Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Here's an unknown. All right. I've got a couple unknown ones that I just want to go through real quick. Melvin Goes to Dinner is.
Never saw that one.
It's directed by Bob Odenkirk. It's written by.
I love Bob Odenkirk.
It's written by a guy named Michael Blyden, who's done a lot of Jimmy Fallon show and stuff like that. It's kind of a more fun version of My Dinner with Andre. It's okay. Four people, they're old friends, and they're having a random meeting. And it's about their conversation, and it goes into all these weird places, and it's got a ton of cameos, like David Cross and Jack Black and people like that.
I think I vaguely remember this now.
I think it might be on Netflix Instant, and if it is, absolutely check it out. It's amazing.
Actually, you don't want to know a movie that's kind of like that nobody's probably ever watched, and it's because it's a rollerblading movie. It's called Airborne. It had Jack Black in it, and it was really funny.
So, this is from way, way back.
Yeah,
this is Seth Green.
Seth Green, Jack Black's in it. I don't even remember who the lead
is. I think
is.
The lead was Seth Green, right?
No,
when
no.
He was super young, long hair.
No, Seth Green was not the lead in that. He was,
oh, okay.
The lead was some pretty boy who was like supposed to play a surfer and rollerblader from California who moves to Minnesota and like, you know, has a clash of cultures.
So it's Johnny Tsunami, but backwards.
Yeah, but Jack Black was hilarious in it. Yeah, pretty much. Jack Black was so funny in it.
Is this a movie you've seen in a long time?
It has been a while. Okay. And I did watch it when I was a kid.
So this may not hold up.
It might not be at all.
It might hold
when
up.
When I was a kid, Three Ninjas was the best movie of all time. Oh,
On that tip, a movie that I don't know if it would hold up, Rutger Hauer and Mimi Rogers.
Yes, The Deadlock.
Deadlock.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
They end up in a super prison where you're tied to another inmate where you can't get more than 100 yards away from that person or else both of you guys' heads will blow up.
I think it's even I think it might be 100 feet, like 30 yards or something like that.
30 yards.
Yeah. Both of their collars are tagged to each other. And so you can't escape because if your cellmate or your locked person that you have no idea who it is, you can't escape because if you do, then you'll both blow up.
So
your heads will blow up.
So she looks it up.
Mm-hmm. She like hacks into the system or whatever and finds out who her deadlock mate is, whatever. And so they break out together. But the whole movie, they have to stay close or whatever. Yeah, God. That movie's
really
great.
Fucking good.
Is this some weird future where they store chicks and dudes together in prison?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an adjoining men and women's prison.
Well, yeah, but that's the beauty part, though. It's like they coordinate it to where you're never too far away for the blah, for the logistics to work. But, hey, on that tip, little respected movie and probably.
Oh no! I think while they're in the prison, it doesn't actually activate. I think it's once they get out of
they put them in some other situation where it's cool. But here's the thing: on that same tip about a real future that's really cool, motherfucking Starship Troopers, man!
Oh yeah,
underrated? People love that movie.
No, it's cult, baby.
It did terrible in the box office.
But like it cost $100 million and made like $111 million.
It did terrible in the box office, and it's got three sequels.
Well, with how much money it cost to make it,
so much money on DVD
sequels.
Yeah. DVDs. It got some money on DVDs, and people started really seeing it for what it was, which was
that is a fun, ridiculous movie.
People went to it expecting to see like the serious war movie about us versus aliens.
Yeah.
That wasn't what it was. It was a commentary on fascism. It was a commentary on how fascism is really fucking cool sometimes,
like and how it's bad sometimes.
Well, it's bad a lot of the time, but it was really fucking cool a lot of the time. Like the fact that you had to serve your fucking country to even be able to vote. You had to have a license to have kids. I don't disagree with any of that shit, frankly. I don't. I don't at all. And then it said, and you would have public lashings for people who fucked up instead of this mamby-pamby put you in with a bunch of other inmates. Fuck that. Beat their ass in public. See if they do that shit again. You know what I mean? It was a real cool justice system. Fuck the dumb shit. And the fucking shit about the aliens and us having to keep a perpetual war going to keep our economy going. And people being able to click, do you want to know more? People being able to click on their TVs to get more information about going into the fucking army. Nigga, that's what we live right now. It's beautiful.
One of my favorite I guess not post-apocalyptic future, but dystopian future movies is, and completely underrated, is Equilibrium. And the thing about Equilibrium is, it was a fucking poster. Like, the poster made it look like a Matrix ripoff. Because you got Christian Bale and Taye Diggs wearing long coats and holding guns, and it came out right after The Matrix, and everybody's like, Matrix ripoff, Matrix ripoff. It is in nothing, no way like The Matrix. It is basically, you take 1984 or Fahrenheit 451, all right, and then give the guys guns. You know what I mean? You give Guy Montag a gun, you know, in Fahrenheit 451, and so when he finally fights back, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got weapons.
Right. If in the end of Fahrenheit 451, he took his flamethrower and just fucking burned everybody, and that was how it ended, that's basically what Equilibrium would be. Well, it's a really good, clever movie.
It's a commentary also on the drugginess of our society. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Rich really has ADHD. But does he have to take Ritalin for it? Is that necessary, or is that just what makes him him?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Making everybody gray, pushing everybody into the bell curve.
Into this safe zone of like, oh, you're a piece of shit.
Okay, and then that becomes another question that I was thinking about.
Where opium becomes the opiate of the masses.
Yeah. A lot of these underrated movies, it seems like what really happened was that they were advertised terribly.
Well, yeah. The thing about that is the filmmakers have no power over that. Like, it's different than the you can't judge a book by its cover thing, because at least authors have some power over it. They can say, oh, no, not that cover, whatever. But, you know, when you make your movie, it just goes out there and the company buys, you know, or they pay a specific house to market it. And if they market it poorly, you're fucked. I mean, look at John Carter. John, there's nothing wrong with that movie. That is a fun family action adventure movie. Whatever.
I liked it.
They fucking called it John Carter. They did not John Carter from Mars, not the Warlord of Mars, not it's like fucking Mars. Put Mars in the fucking title, man.
So people know that isn't Mars.
It's like, hey, look, this Superman, it looks pretty good, but can we take out the super part? Can we just call this man? Can we release this as man? Man.
And also Batman, can we just call it man? Clark, can we just be Clark?
Yeah, we want to talk about, if you want to go superhero-ish type underrated movies, for me, Jumper, way underrated.
I never saw it
because I only heard bad things.
Right.
I
agree with Rich. Go ahead.
Got to check it out?
It's not an A+, but it's fun. It gets its premise right. Mm-hmm. Like, it does not fuck up its premise. It sticks to its rules really well, and it's cast right. It just isn't, it has enough of the thing where people who are a little more mainstream might go like, oh, come on. And it just is a little bit, it's one step down from A+, because it has this little tiny tinge of like soap opera novella, like Spanish soap opera TV to it.
And a little bit of underproducing too.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a little underproduced.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, it gets exactly what it wants to do right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It looks a lot like, what's the movie about the witch dudes that was a few years ago?
Oh, The Coven or something?
Something like that. But it has that sort of blue tone that a lot of people are doing.
The dudes that are, it's the craft with dudes.
Yeah. But it has that same sort of thing, kind of like Underworld has that certain look where you're like, you change the lighting to make up for some lack of production money.
That's
what Jumper has.
Yeah, it has a little bit of that. It's a little dark because of that. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Another future movie. I think this is the last future one I've got. No, I take it back. Got a couple. Another future one that nobody has fucking seen is Rod Lurie's first movie, Deterrence. And I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but it's Kevin Pollak plays the president. And it takes place, I think, in 2008, but it was made in like 1999. So it's like this alternate future where Saddam Hussein's kids are like threatening the world with nuclear weapons or whatever. And it's... And like the entire thing takes place because the president is out, he's out campaigning, and he's like snowed in at a diner. So the entire thing takes place within this diner. It's basically like a play.
Whoa.
And he's got to negotiate all this stuff to try. It's basically like the Cuban Missile Crisis, but he's stuck in this one little place. It's fucking great.
The president's stuck at Mel's.
And I'm sorry for suggesting it, because it's like impossible to find. Like, it's not even on DVD. I don't know how the fuck you get it. It's one of those that this happens to me every once in a while that I'm like, hey, what happened to this movie? And then I go and look on Amazon and it's like, oh yeah, you can get the DVD for $50 because they made 200 of them like when it first came out, and that's it.
Yeah.
You can get it on Laserdisc.
I don't know, man. Look for it. See it. It's fucking great. It's probably Kevin Pollak's best performance, because he's playing this president that was vice president, and he only moved up to president because the president died. Oh, it's fucking really, really good.
President got nuked. Ron, do you have one?
No, I was just going to comment about the bad advertising, because like what they did with Unbreakable is they made it look like it was going to be an action movie. Yeah. Made it look like it was going to be a Bruce Willis all-out action movie. And so when people first went and saw it, they were like, oh, this is a slow-moving-ass movie.
Speaking of Bruce Willis, Lucky Number 11.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a really that's a good, badass clever movie. Movie.
Criminally it's, underwatched movie,
it's,
yes.
Oh, Aces. Very little, it's very little Bruce Willis. And you have to go in there understanding that the whole thing... I don't know. I love that movie. I love how brilliantly put together it is. When you get to the end of it, you immediately want to watch the end of it, kind of like the watch it again, like The Prestige, where you're like, oh shit, now I've got the whole story. Now I want to watch the whole thing again.
I would kind of add The Prestige to that, but that I'll
is that underrated
only,
though?
I don't know. Yeah, I've only.
What
seen
was the
it
other like one that came time. Out that was like almost the same?
The
movie.
The Illusionist.
Yeah, I like both of those.
Did not see The Illusionist.
Well, you want to talk about Slevin, underrated. Josh Hartnett, to be honest.
Yeah.
What happened to that dude?
You know what his first fucking movie was? The fucking H2O. He was already a decent actor, like, right from the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked H2O.
Yeah, no, I mean...
That's the best Halloween movie since, like, what, four?
That links to one of my favorite movies. There's like, I got, like, two of them that are like, okay... I'm the gayest person on this panel, because these two movies are very just... Okay. One is... fuck. Damn it. Oh, Virgin Suicides. Virgin Suicides.
That is not an underrated movie, is it? I mean, that got her her next thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It got her another job.
I love that movie.
It didn't make money.
I love that movie. This was my problem with the Virgin Suicide. Yeah. And I mean, that cue of Hart's Magic Man, as he was, brilliant.
He's great in it.
I watched that movie and was like, this movie's fucking great. And I suggested it to a group of people who wanted to watch a movie. And I was like, oh, I just saw this movie. It's so amazing. And I didn't think about the fact that it's a depressing motherfucker. And so we're this party of like, it's like three guys and like three girls that they dug in college. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, good movie, right?
Dude, you prescribed the biggest cock block
in the
world.
I did. It was my fault.
Good for you, man.
It was my fault.
Here, I have two words for what happened to Josh Hartnett. Channing Tatum.
Oh, yeah.
That dude took all the movies Josh Hartnett should be in.
I've got two more words for you. Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody associated with Pearl Harbor got a black mark for a long time. Ben Affleck, it took him making his own goddamn movies to come back.
He directed his way out of that hole.
He was like, you know what? Fuck this. I got an Oscar. I can write myself another movie.
Yeah, man.
His movies are great. The movies that he's making, so much better than anything he's ever done.
King of Hearts by Philip DeBroca. Christopher Edwards said that.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I don't know that. This is an absolutely wonderful film, and no one I know has ever seen it.
I like Christopher Edwards. I trust his his judgment.
So people check it out. King of Hearts by Philip DeBroca.
Speaking of... This is not a segue at all. but here's another super
Man in the Iron Mask.
I've got a pair of totally underrated comedies that both have fucking ridiculous killer soundtracks. One, Walk Hard.
Don't know that one. Oh, what? Walk Hard. Walk Hard. Oh, okay.
The Dewey Cox story.
I just pronounced the L.
I thought you said something else. Walk Hard.
Walk Hard. It's by the maker of...
I thought you said Wall Card.
Shaolin Soccer.
Well, said Walk.
I was like, Wall
was
Card?
Like Walt Disney, but with a K.
But the second time you said it, it sounded like Walk Hard. Like he's stirring up shit in a fucking...
Yeah, I was trying to make a joke. Anyway, yeah. Yes, Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which...
No, it's cool, man. You have a weird accent. It's all right.
I don't only think that's... ridiculously underrated as a fucking brilliant comedy.
It's hilarious.
It's also, it didn't get a fucking nomination for a song, and that has like 20 original songs that like cover the entire 20th century of music.
Yeah.
And they're good. They're all good songs. Every one of them is funny in its own way. And they're also really fucking good.
The
They've got the Roy Orbison
styles.
Sound alike is brilliant. The Bob Dylan sound alike is ridiculously funny.
It had a Johnny Cash style too.
Oh my God, the Johnny Cash one.
What's the second one?
They're all brilliant. The other one is Josie and the Pussycats.
Really? I've never seen
everybody
it.
Everybody saw it. And this is another one where the advertising, everybody assumes, oh, that's something my kid's sister wants to go see, whatever. But that movie is so fucking funny.
I'll download it.
It's
legally,
it's
totally legally.
It's insanely funny. It's,
of course you will.
The whole thing is about subliminal messages in music. So the whole thing is meta. It's crazy meta. Like, it's all jokes about the music industry, about the fact that they're making a movie about a cartoon show. Like, there's just, it's...
Well, that's why it failed.
Yeah, I think...
It failed because it wasn't for teeny bopper girls. Well, they made it look like it was for teeny bopper girls, and it was making fun of teeny bopper girls.
That's a big deal about the advertising. Though. Anytime you fuck up, like, you put out, the wrong... Like, in fact, actually, the first Spider-Man movie that came out, I mean, even though there's a zillion things wrong with it, I remember going with hope in my heart. If I'd gone expecting it to suck, I might have been okay with it. But I went like with hope in my heart because the stuff they showed on the preview was just web-slinging action. And I was like, this is going to be, you know, an hour and 20 minutes of web-slinging action and the first setup of he loves Mary Jane and this is how he got his powers. And then we're just going to see some ass kicking. And that is not what you see when you show up. I mean, it did well, but I still think that the advertising was so bad that it set me up to not like it. And I think that happened with a lot of these underrated movies. Mm-hmm. So really, we should be telling people to get their shit together and advertise correctly.
I liked the last one, The Amazing Spider-Man, better. Other than the stupid let's line up all the cranes shit at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wanted to punch everybody in the room.
There were buildings! There were buildings right below every one of those cranes. Seriously.
But no, he wasn't strong enough to swing from the buildings. He was only trying to swing from the cranes that somehow a guy who he randomly deus ex machina'd back in the... Like, I'm going to help him out because I can see him from 15 buildings away.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. That's
spoiler alert, real quick on that, though. I mean, seriously, Dennis Leary got to die in the first fucking movie?
Good.
Bullshit. Bullshit on that.
Also, they should have...
Could he
had
never mind.
Goblin?
No, check it out. They're gonna have Bill Hicks play him in the next one.
Ah, a hologram of Bill Hicks.
That's what's gonna happen.
Did you guys hear that Paul Giamatti is playing the Rhino?
No.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, and Jamie Foxx is playing Electro. That is your villain twofer. Jamie Foxx and
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Electro Unchained. I want to be the first.
Unplugged. Electro nice. Unplugged.
Nice.
Man, but you know, okay, so here's the deal, though. Okay, I want to do...
Your death is silent.
I don't really watch a lot of these, you know. I don't watch that many independent movies. One, I'll give you two. One, I watched this movie called Stealing Beauty. It's one of the first times that Liv Tyler acted in a movie. It's wonderful. Actually, Bernardo Bertolucci directed it, and it's all about this bitch's coming of age in Italy. Like, she goes back to the birthplace of, like, her ancestors or shit like that to have a summer, and it's about that summer in the affluent hills while they sip wine and shit and canoodle all day and all the relationships she has. And I like it a lot. That's how good it is.
I wish they would hire you to write the descriptions on the back of DVDs.
It's all about this bitches coming of age in Italy and shit. Whatever.
They're canoodling. There's a lot of fucking canoodling.
But you know what I'm saying? It's about her relationship she garners over the course of this intrinsic summer to her development as a woman. It's
nice. There it is. There's the back of the box we were looking for.
Whatever, dog. I'm versatile. So another one that is criminally under-respected. I think it made money, but it's not like, oh, Star Wars like it should be. And it's not James Bond like it should be. And it's motherfucking Conan the motherfucking Barbarian.
The remake.
Dude, yeah, no, motherfucker, no.
The original.
The original one.
I think everybody likes the original.
The original one was, like, did that not do bad?
It's criminally under-respected. When you tell people one of your favorite movies of all time is Conan the fucking Barbarian, the look that people give you is a mixture of disgust and pity. because you're such a fucking shithead. You have a sword and sandal.
I'm not aware of this at all. I fucking love Conan the Barbarian. It's a great fucking movie. I didn't know that anybody. That's interesting.
That stigma is pervasive
because it's a fantasy thing.
Okay. You know.
Well, then you think Legend,
the stigma,
and
I want to
Labyrinth and stuff. Those guys did well, and they were.
But it's geared toward children, whereas this is geared toward adults. And so they see you as like as a man child, like oh you like this, you probably like, have action figures, and you're like, it's a great fucking movie.
And I do have action figures.
And those same people will have seen Gladiator and go, well, that's a great movie, man. It had emotional shit from a bitch.
Oh, okay. Gladiator wasn't nearly the movie Conan the Barbarian was.
Okay, I agree with that.
It had some great moments and a fantastic soundtrack, but it is not the movie.
Conan's soundtrack is one of the best in cinema history.
I've been listening. I'm writing a fantasy movie right now. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I'm listening like back and forth to the Conan the Barbarian soundtrack.
Basil Polidorus.
It's so fucking good.
He's a great composer.
I used to listen to that for the Ravenous soundtrack.
Honestly, I used to listen to that before I went and jumped on handrails and or skated halfpipe.
It's a great soundtrack, and the bottom line is, it's about the forming of a dude.
I should say rollerblades so you can hate me correctly.
That movie could have happened in any era. It's about a dude It's about a dude who loses everything, and then he gets formed by a fucked up experience. He's made a slave and made a gladiator, and he has to do all this shit, and then he learns all these rules for life from all these, you know, hardcore dudes from around the world. It's like if somebody killed Batman's parents and took him to a place where he had to push a giant wheel all day till he was 18 and get strong. And as soon as he was 18, they put him in a pit with a wild dude with filed teeth, and he had to kill that guy just to live.
He paid good money to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the American way. Like, white people in America, especially at the time when that shit got created, just like, man, this is too easy. I got to invent some way for this to be hard. So go.
Andy Sell says The Gate. It's the single most underrated American horror movie.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either.
Is that the one?
Andy Sell seems a lot.
Can you write Andy and ask him to come up with more movies that none of us have seen?
Yeah.
One guy who I can trust will be able to find, like, hey, here's a movie that was fantastic. There's no possible way you know what it is. I'm going to bet it's Andy.
Okay, Memento. Memento was one that I felt like a lot of people who are smarty-smarts who think they're so fucking smart like it. But when you try to show it, dude, show it to your dumb girlfriend. A lot of you guys have a smart girlfriend. I have a smart girlfriend right now. It's great, whatever. But play that movie for your dumb girlfriend if you want to have a horrible time.
Was everybody else disappointed as fuck that when that first DVD came out, you couldn't play it backwards?
Nah.
I was so fucking pissed off. And then like 6 months later, they came out with a DVD that was like, hey, you can also watch the supercut where it goes backwards. I'm like, fuck you. I already bought one.
Yeah. Trying to get me to buy more shit.
Remember back when we bought DVDs?
Talking about the sort of bondiness, Layer Cake. Did you ever see that?
Layer Cake's good. I didn't think it was great like everybody else did. And at least jump-started Matthew Vaughn's career, which is great.
And some killer Daniel Craig.
Stardust! Matthew Vaughn's Stardust was so fucking good. And that's underrated.
Is that the one where the kid goes to go find like something, a gift for a girl, and then he meets... Yeah, it was a movie. It happened on film.
He dropped that shit on you.
I think that was actually better than the book because they upped the timeline. They moved it from like years to like 7 days or something like that. It really put a ticking clock on it.
Did you guys ever see The Football Factory?
No.
There was a movie that came out in the States called The Green Street Hooligans that starred Elijah Wood
and Charlie Hunnam, right?
And it was about joining up. It was about an American guy who goes to Britain and ends up joining up with one of the football firms and becomes a football hooligan. And it was a super Disney-fied version. The Football Factory is to that as something like Snatch would be to Ocean's 11.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Except way grittier, like bad beatdowns.
Huh.
It took us a second to follow along, but it all completely makes sense, though.
Yeah.
So what's the movie called?
The Football Factory. I'll let you borrow it.
How about some sports movies that maybe isn't underrated?
Oh, I don't have a sports movie.
Underrated sports movies.
I have a video game.
I've actually heard Here Comes the Boom is much better than people thought it was going to be.
Okay.
That's the recent
have to be.
I liked martial arts one.
I liked The Little Giants.
Little Giants is pretty killer. But as far as underrated ones?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any underrated.
You know, underrated sports movies, got to give it up to...
Varsity Blues.
Yes.
Yes.
Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues, so much better than Any Given Sunday.
James Vanderbeek's best performance of his career. All right. By far.
Well, he's pretty good as James Vanderbeek in...
That's true.
Don't Trust the Bee.
He did nail that.
Wow. No, I was just going to say, you know, best...
It's the role he was born to play.
One of my best sports movies, Breaking 1 and 2. They're really great sports movies because they have to overcome stuff. They have to save community centers. They have to get contracts and
Go
stuff.
Go fuck yourself. I just had to say that. I don't actually mean that.
Okay,
you
so...
You just dismissed Breaking 1 and Breaking 2. You will pay.
I don't have any sports movies, but on the sort of heisty crime movie tip, I do have one more, and that's Judas Kiss. And this is another one that's like impossible to fucking find. And I apologize for that. But it's got Carla Gugino. It's got the guy who plays the mentalist, whose name is Simon Baker.
Yeah.
Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman.
Wow.
Till Schweiger, who is, you might know from Inglourious Basterds. He was Hugo Stieglitz. But it's a fucking great little unknown heist movie about a kidnapping gone really, really wrong. And it's impossible to find. Great performances, except for the terrible Southern accents of wonderful British actors. You know, what are you going to do? But you know, it's really...
I can't do a Southern accent either.
It's excellent. Carla Gugino from Sin City, sex scene, you know, you got to...
Hey, how about Sin City?
Sin City's great. Is that underrated? They're making a sequel.
I thought it got... It's due props.
I think Sin City's overrated.
I read... What do you feel about Watchmen?
No, I mean, it's the same thing. But here's the thing. Both,
the movie?
I think Watchmen, the
I
movie...
I thought the movie was pretty panned. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, but the people who
it's still overrated.
Like it a lot. It's still overrated. But for Sin City's problem was, to me, in my personal opinion, the story of Marv killing basically a Kennedy over a whore is its own movie. You didn't need to put that yellow bastard in there. You didn't need to put a bunch of that other shit in there. That wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
The story, if you read The Long Goodbye, the story that Marv's part was based on, if you read that story and tell me that's not a movie, you're a fucking retard. Like, honestly, all the stuff he has to go through to garner the information, a crazy person who's losing his mind, doesn't have his pills, negotiating with himself to find out if he's doing the right thing in this investigation, whether this investigation is based upon a delusion that he's having or a hallucination that he's having, or if he's just falsely giving himself what he needs to get through the day, that determination throughout the whole story is amazing.
It's great,
wonderful action.
But we get so few anthology movies, and
you know why?
I think it's
they
a
fucking
really,
suck.
No, they don't.
It's four things that could never stand on their own, slammed together to be one whole thing that can't stand on its own.
But
that's my fucking problem with anthology movies or ensemble pieces. Yeah, you got 16 scenes, motherfucker. So what? Take your 16 scenes and get them the fuck out of here, because I got 48 other scenes that make sense together, motherfucker. Let's make a 1 hour, 40-minute movie rather than a 3 hour movie with 16 extra goddamn scenes in it.
Can we write that on the back of a DVD box?
You're acting like it's inherent in the form that they're going to be.
It's an inherent weakness in the form, yeah. Nashville will never be as good as a movie with one consistent concurrent storyline. Sorry, it never will. Shortcuts? Nope. None of these fuck up. Magnolia? Nope. You know what? Magnolia ain't as good as Boogie Nights. But it ain't the filmmaking prowess, because that motherfucker got better at making movies after Boogie Nights. But Boogie Nights is about a bunch of characters all living one story. The story of Dirk Diggler and his dick and the fallout of 80s porn as it switched to video. That's the story. And it doesn't matter how many places you go, you never escape that story.
I don't know if that was a time in my life that was just shitty or weird or something, but I hated that fucking movie.
I love it. And I can see why people wouldn't like it. And I'm prudish.
What you're saying is
fucking
the dick is the Campbellian hero, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the dick
is
the hero.
That makes sense.
And it goes
on a journey.
It goes to meet the goddess in the middle of the movie.
Which means it should be Rich Slayton's favorite movie.
I don't like downer movies. Like, I hated The Wrestler. That should have been called The Passion of Mickey Rourke. It was just awful. It was a snuff film about a sad dude, and I don't like that shit.
Oh, see, I have a hard time. I can respect when a movie is really good and sad, like The Virgin Suicides, but I really have a hard time watching. I always put them off. They end up stacking
Rod's
up in my
ooing.
Netflix
Rod,
queue.
Rod's ooing.
What? I got one.
What are you ooing about, Ron?
Rapid Fire. There's a Brandon Lee movie.
The Brandon Lee movie?
Loved that fucking movie.
You know what?
The fight scenes in that movie were so badass, and the plot was super simple, but like still had some interesting things involved with it.
Let me say this. Both Rapid Fire and I believe it's called Showdown in Little Tokyo with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Both of those, that kid is fucking gold. And you watch every moment that Brandon Lee is on screen, you are enjoying the fuck out of what you're watching.
Yeah.
I don't think that either of those are good movies. But
maybe it's just because I like Brandon Lee so much.
When they're on, I will watch them.
You know what's a good
thing? There's a fight scene.
In retrospect, I'm just saying, I think it's all Brandon Lee. Because you know Dolph Lundgren has no fucking charisma at all.
Okay, there's a fight scene in Rapid Fire where he fights the dude who's in every martial arts movie, who's got the goatee, the Asian dude. I always forget his name, but he's like been in every martial arts movie.
May or something?
Yeah.
Is he the one that scratched up... go ahead.
Well, either
he's the guy that electrocutes Mel Gibson at the end of Lethal Weapon.
Is he that guy?
And the fight scene in between him and Brandon Lee is...
I know who you're talking about.
It's so badass that it's... That movie alone is worth that fight scene. And the other one that might be underrated is Return of the Dragon by Bruce Lee. Not Enter the Dragon, but Return of the Dragon, which is where he fights Chuck Norris.
Oh, well, on that tip, honestly, the Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh, yeah.
Movie is engrossing and wonderful and dramatizes a bunch of things.
What happened to Jason Scott Lee? Dude, I love that kid.
He was on The Verge, bro.
He did Universal Soldier.
No, Soldier.
Yeah, Soldier. That's right.
He did Soldier with Kurt Russell.
And I actually enjoyed that movie. People panned that movie a lot.
I'll watch anything with Kurt Russell. I mean, come on. What are you going to do? I fucking enjoyed 3,000 Miles to Graceland. And it was stupid. And I knew it was stupid while I was watching it. And I enjoyed it because Kurt Russell is awesome.
Yeah.
For comic book people, it's weird that no one's brought up Constantine yet.
Didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah. He's nothing like the character in the comic book, and that really fucking breaks it.
Oh, you were too committed to the canon.
It's not like, he's not as tall as whatever. It's like his attitude. Like, he doesn't act like the character in the comic book at all. Like, it's
I mean, I'm a Hellblazer fan, but I liked it as a separate entity.
That was a hard one for me because I actually enjoyed the movie.
It was still
but
just
had the
okay.
Same problems
it had
with,
really good performances, I'll say that. I loved Gavin Rossdale in it. I loved Tilda Swinton in it. I mean, it had good things about it. Just overall, the Keanu Reeves of it all.
I'm a Keanu Reeves fan. I think that the Matrix is at least 7% worse without Keanu Reeves in that role.
Oh, dude, number one, The Matrix is about between 5 and 8% worse without Keanu Reeves. But guess what is 100% worse without Keanu Reeves? Motherfucker Point Break.
Oh, yeah.
He's great in Point Break.
He is great.
Because he got to play himself.
He completely is great in Point Break.
And he was great in Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, and
his
best performance is a smaller scene movie called I Love You to Death with Kevin Klein. Kevin Klein is married to Tracy Ullman, and basically he cheats on her all the time, so she hires two stoners to kill him. And the two stoners are played by Keanu Reeves and William Hurt. Now, I assume William Hurt is doing his amazing acting thing. And Keanu Reeves, it just comes so naturally that he like acts circles around William Hurt. you believe so hard that this guy is stoned out of his mind. Dude. It's fucking, it's a brilliant performance.
Okay, can we go in a very, we only got about 6 minutes left, but this is, I wanted to get out some criminally over-respected movies.
Oh, well, can I just say my most
episode.
Underrated movie?
Just one I had to say, motherfucking Requiem for a Dream. I'm sorry, sad for no reason, showy in the directorial style for no reason, no actual emotions. Fuck that movie.
City of Angels
Fuck
is mine. I fucking
really
hate
like
that movie.
It. I hate it.
Did you like the original?
I never saw the original. I saw the one with Nicolas Cage where the, what's her name, dies at the fucking...
See the original. See what you... And then... tell me what you think of that.
I go positivo.
Okay. All right. This is I definitely want to make sure to get this out before we're done. This is one of my very favorite movies of all time. One of my top five favorite movies. Just definite. And nobody's seen it. And even like the critics, it was kind of middling. And it's called The Nines. It's this movie John August made, the guy who wrote Go and Big Fish. Mm. And this is his directorial debut. I think it's actually the only movie he ever directed because it didn't do that well. But he wrote and directed it. It stars Ryan Reynolds, Hope Davis, Melissa McCarthy, and they all play, and a couple other people, they all play three different roles because it's three different stories, but these stories all interlock mm-hmm. in really interesting ways, and they all are examining the same subject mm-hmm. or the same theme, which is the creator and his work, the artist right. and his work.
Right.
So you have an actor in the first one. Ryan Reynolds is the star of each of them. He plays an actor in the first one. He plays a TV writer in the second one, and he plays a video game developer in the third one. And the way they all tie together and build up to the ridiculous, insane right. fucking climax.
You know what? That's one of those movies where, you know, I'm going to rich you. That's a thing that happened. I saw
oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. Like, people don't like it.
No, you're right. And, you're right. I think it's a lack of imagination on certain people's parts, but I have all the imagination in the world, and I did not. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't appreciate the giant parlor trick of it. I didn't appreciate the slog that I had to go through to get to that morsel of dopeness. You know what I'm saying? It was a Rube Goldbergian machinery to get to the twist.
Well, I would recommend that I believe it's still on Netflix Instant for the rest of the month.
It's okay, guys.
You absolutely should watch it for yourself and see what you think. I have heard him speak about it afterward, and he basically said he did exactly the movie that he wanted to do. He understands why some people don't like it, but it's like it's his exact everything shot onto the screen. So, I mean, what more can you ask from a filmmaker than that?
Most underrated.
To have gotten it exactly right.
Most underrated Ryan Reynolds movie of all time, Waiting.
Yeah.
Is Waiting underrated?
I think that Waiting does not get the number.
It's a fucking hilarious movie.
People don't know about it.
Maybe that's true. Yeah. It did get a sequel, but it was like a direct-to-DVD,
none of the stars. Yeah. But Ryan Reynolds kills it in that movie.
I think you got like Alana Ubach, and that was the only one.
And that thing helped launch him comedically. That thing also helped launch Justin Long comedically. Not to mention it also helped whatever the
Dane
dude...
Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah. He Dane Cook fucking rocks it in that movie. He does.
Because it was a small part.
Rocking It, Limitless.
Oh, Rocking It, Limitless. Good.
I still didn't see that movie.
That fucking movie is so good. The only thing... I think the one thing that people probably left and didn't give it that proper buzz... was like the ending is a bit abrupt. The ending,
it needed one more rewrite.
Maybe one more draft would have smoothed out the come down. It was almost like a drug. The movie's like a drug. It starts out, you just bop it along. Then the drug starts taking hold, and it's got
I would say
the first
half of that movie is great. The first half of that movie is a 5 out of 5. I think the second... The second half, it kind of goes off the rails, and it kind of goes that way of a lot of movies that I don't like. This thing where it's they've got an amazing idea, and they're like, "Well, now we have to end it because it's a movie." Like, did you ever see Cube? The weird horror movie about people like stuck in this cube and they have no idea what it's. Well, it just sort of ends with, "Hey, one of them goes crazy and kills all the rest of them." And you're like, "Oh, fuck you! Come on,
same syndrome.
You just had to end."
Same syndrome as that European action flick, Hannah, that the Chemical Brothers did the score for.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect Euro-style action movie.
And then it goes up to twisty and weird at the end.
Act three, it just is like, fuck you, we're done. We're Euros.
There you go. Yep. See you later.
Yeah.
It gets a faux hawk in the last third of the movie.
quick mentions, Grandma's Boy. Best Adam Sandler movie does not feature Adam Sandler.
Fucking hilarious.
That is a great, hilarious fucking movie.
Criminally underrepresented.
Interstate 60, Bob Gale movie. He's the guy who wrote the Back to the Future movies. Just fucking see it. It's amazing. It's on Hulu streaming right now. And Alien 3. I went back and watched the Alien movies recently with my girlfriend. I hated Alien 3 when it came out. This is the first time I had seen it since then. I was like, this movie's really fucking good. I was wrong.
Okay,
we're all wrong, I think.
So let's go do your plugs, Ed.
Alien Faith sucks. Die Hard 3 is criminally under-respected.
Best of the movie as a best movie of the series, for sure.
I like Die Hard 3.
I'm doing Comedy Palace on like the 27th. I'm going to put it up on my freaking site, supportdestruction.com. Ed Greer Destroys. And be looking out for Ed Greer Destroys. It's going to be a show that I'm going to create. Go.
Awesome. I'm at Matt Blackwood on Twitter. And also, we just had Andy Sell on our podcast. What were we talking about? Talking about Big Trouble in Little China.
Nice. Rich?
Thursday the 28th, I'll be at the Comedy Hideaway in Santa Barbara at 8 p.m. Follow me on Twitter at MMA Comic.
And I'm Ron Swell. It's Angry Dorks every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m., although you can listen Saturdays at 11 now. Yay!
Good show. Don't be unwise. Just be not by my side. You won't believe your eyes. Watch the X-Wing Ride.